Off the ball.
Rugby.
He's come through a pretty good rugby career and a very strong coaching career, but nothing was handed to him.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try for Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan, joined on the show by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes as we discuss what was a terrific, terrific win and a terrific performance by Munster against Leinster on Saturday night in Croke Park. We'll get into the weeds of all that. Munster's fantastic win, all the fantastic performances from the players, and we're going to look ahead to another Interpro this week as we take on Connacht. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Red 78. Delighted, as always, to be joined by Fiona and Alan. Guys, how are you? It's a stupid question, but I imagine everyone's kind of happy this week, Fiona.
Absolutely. We've been waiting for this now for a long time. I don't think since I've been on with Queenie we've had a Munster win against Leinster. So looking forward to going through it. Delighted was cracking up as well at Zeebo after the match. It was hilarious, winding everyone up. So look, great performance. I lost myself just before it, so it cheered me right up. My club lost down in Limerick to my old team, which is even worse. And we were hammered. So it was great to sit with a few of those Leinster girls as well in the bar and watch it. They could see, yeah, I'm really Munster at heart. Even though I've moved to Dublin, I'm Munster at heart.
Cunny, how are you, buddy?
Oh, grand chat. It was 50% good weekend, obviously.
What was the other 50%?
You said don't mention the war, Queenie, today. Now, come on.
Yeah, no, we have to mention it. United beating Liverpool on Sunday. I've plenty of United mates and stuff, so it's taking you, was it 9 or 10 years, Rory?
Look.
To win at Anfield, but anyway. I think he'd the league wrapped up at this stage.
At least they'd hand up the trophy.
Definitely have, yeah. And Harry Maguire, player of the year.
What a legend.
But anyway, that's sport, isn't it? So well done to all the United fans. No one has been texting me, really. They've been quiet. But obviously, Munster on Saturday evening was a surprising, surprising kind of boost or lift, if you like. Let's be honest, nobody saw that kind of... That performance, that kind of dominance defensively and excitement and I suppose the scoreline was probably, was it a little bit flattering? Who knows? Two opportunistic tries with the chip kick, excellent execution, and then the intercept. We get into the nuts and bolts of it, but it was long overdue win. I think there's a lot of Munster people have been kind of suffering and struggling with this fixture, but there was a great crowd there, to be fair. Munster fans turned up again and they got rewarded, so it's a big lift. I don't think anyone should get carried away, but given where the performances were in the last 2 weeks against Cardiff and Edinburgh, even though they were very good end results and as regards winning, I think, yeah, there was some concerns around the performances, but they got the game plan right, they executed it, and they brought that kind of fight and desire, and Fiona was very pessimistic around the game.
Wrong person, Queenie.
I fancied Munster anyway to get a result, but anyway, that's it. It was a good weekend, yeah, of course. Sport is crazy, but obviously Munster winning was a superb performance and superb result. Fiona lost her game. I think that's two in the bounce now, is it?
Quickly, no, stop
two,
you.
Is it two in the bounce?
Yes, and we're bouncing back this weekend.
Bounce back this weekend, yeah. Well, if you don't win it the weekend, I'm going to be calling you Fiona Slot next week. You'll be like Arnie Slot, a little bit of pressure and scrutiny coming on.
Fair enough.
My good God, you wouldn't want to be taking anything personally here today, Fiona, would you?
No, I thought he'd be in better form after the Munster win.
Well, it was a super Munster win. Let's talk about that. But first, Fiona, like loads of comments, a lot of giddy comments reaching us this week on the show.
Yeah, thanks again, guys, for sending them in. Won't read them all out, but I'll throw a few here. So Helena Close was at the game. Really like the look of this team. Reminds me of Munster years ago. The doggedness, the fight for everything. Excited now for the season. Tara Spain said superb performance from Munster. They controlled the game with less possession through sheer doggedness. We must build on it now and take the world by storm. We were missing many key players also. Can't wait. And dreading for December. Loved how upset Lowe was and how we bullied him. Pat has first game I've seen this season. Absolutely amazing intensity by every single player. Farrell was immense and a lovely try. Jack Sublime has to be 10 versus NZ. Coughlin had a fine game. Byrne schooled Leinster. The defence tackled their socks off. Bonus point. Unbelievable. Stephen Davies, it looked like the players really enjoyed every minute of the hard work and intensity they were putting in during the game, smiling after every tackle, hit, and turnover. It was a pleasure to watch. Big thanks to all involved. And then Christopher Murphy has the defence. Stand in the second half was immense. Tadhg Byrne was on another level with one massive play after another. Gavin Coombs is hard done by, excluded from Ireland, but Tom Farrell gets an extremely well-deserved call-up. Zeebo was pure joy post-game. What a win.
Yeah, there's so many storylines to talk about from Saturday night's game, as they were touched on the comments there, like the performance of Jack Crowley at Tadhg Byrne, just absolutely immense. Munster's defensive effort at the start of the second half was incredible. Can you just overall, like, what went right for Munster? I mean, like, what went so right for Munster on Saturday?
I think I heard a lot of players talk about executing a game plan, and I think that doesn't always happen. You go out with a plan, and every sports team does, to go out with a plan. I think the fundamentals of what you need to bring to this fixture, any game where you're the underdog or you're playing a very powerful, top quality side, is you've got to be physical. You've got to, front up really and get the emotion right. There's no point in banging your head off the wall in the dressing room and going out and not controlling that or getting that intensity right. So I think Munster did that. And look, I've played in many, many games over the years where you're in that situation where you try and your aggression is up and things just don't fall from you. And we often hear the term, creating your own luck in sport, or you got the lucky bounces or stuff like that. But there's so much evidence to say in every different sport, and it's a very common situation, that sometimes you create your own luck with your work rate, with your kick chase, with your ability to put pressure on the opposition. And very simple things made a huge difference in that game. I highlight one that people mightn't even talk about. So first kickoff of the game, Jack Crowley kicks the ball, lands in the 22, and as Robbie Henshaw catches the ball, Tacker Abrahams literally chops the legs, makes a brilliant tackle. So straight away, it may seem innocuous, but his determination to get up there to stop Leinster getting a good platform to set up, to maybe assess things, for Gibson Park to kick long, to put Munster back in their own half. For me, that just kind of, I'm watching the game back, I said that's a really good start. It's something simple, but he just doesn't allow him any time. It's big work rate, and I think the work rate is mentioned a lot in this fixture, and of course it made a huge difference, but they were quite shrewd then in the way they played. And they found spaces on the edge with some excellent crossfield kicks from Crowley, some really shrewd space finders in behind Leinster, and I think they were brave in their attack. And if you go back to the game last year in Croke Park, and even the game in Thomond Park, Munster chasing the game a lot, and they're creating stuff, and Leinster are the ones who were rock solid in defence. So this time Munster didn't panic at the start when they went 7 points down. They reacted well, and they get the Brian Gleeson try, and then they're actually, they're invigorating themselves with some of the things they're doing, the offloads, the little line breaks, and I think Munster had, was it 10 line breaks they had in the game. It was very, very impressive. I think, really shrewd in the game plan and that execution. So you can bring the stuff that I said at the start, that aggression, that intensity, that work rate, but you have to back it up with some quality and winning moments. I think Clayton McMillan said that after the game, and Munster won a lot of moments. they forced a lot of turnovers for Leinster. And I think, I mean this very respectfully, and of course people can criticise me or critique me or say to me that, well, I wasn't that optimistic. And, you know, you have to be sensible when you look at these games. Going into that game, and historically what we've normally seen is, even if Leinster are only integrating players back in, they're usually too strong with the players they have. That has to turn at some point. Has it turned completely? I don't think so. I think what Munster did the other day, a lot of it was right. They looked fit, they looked robust, they looked full of energy. They looked like they enjoyed defending. But what's the big difference here, Rory, is they were the ones in the lead. So they're not chasing. They're not having to take unnecessary risk in certain situations. And there was periods there, particularly around the 60-minute mark, where they're getting battered, they're under pressure. Getting battered is too much, I think, but they're under pressure, and Leinster are multi-phase, and then they come up with a turnover. Then they come up with a big moment. Leinster got to their line a few times in that second half. They get big turnovers. So, yeah, they won those moments, but I think their application and their energy was superb, and they looked fit, and it was such an increase in intensity from what we saw against Cardiff and what we saw against Edinburgh. And again, I did say it last week, and I clarified again. When you pick 35 players in your first three games, it is a very risky situation regarding cohesion. If it works, which they got the results, and then, you know, maybe his that little bit of movement of players and stuff, maybe it's benefited the team. Maybe it will throughout the season. So, on the evidence of the results, they've had a fantastic start, and I think. You know, when you have 65% possession, Leinster have. They have 69% territory. You know, Munster make 271 tackles as opposed to 117. They missed only 18 tackles out of two. There were 93% success rate in their tackle count. So that'll please Dennis Leamy immensely, as the rest of the coaches. So that's the evidence that's there. That defence really was what won it. You know, I'm being harsh saying they're opportunistic. The chip from Jack Crowley for Tom Farrell, the way he, you know, on another day, Jimmy O'Brien gets a hand to that, and there's a collision, and the ball is knocked on, and it was a nearly moment. But you have to take these risks and take these chances. And I think definitely with that Leinster rush defence, there was definitely, and you know, Mike Prendergast's imprints are all over that performance, because. We didn't see them looking for that space in the previous games. And maybe the previous games, looking back, when the coaches are able to say, look, this, you're trying to run around Cardiff. You're trying to run around or run over Edinburgh here, and the space isn't there because they're rushing up, trying to put pressure on you. Here's where Leinster will do something similar, and here's some space. So I think they were very brave in the application. And then you go across the board, and Fiona will know this too, you're going through full list of all the players, and they're all 8, 9s out of 10. You know, there's no, and when that happens with your team as a coach, Fiona, isn't that perfect? Because by and large, you're on the right side of the result then. So this was, make no bones about it, was a shock result, because we didn't see it coming. And I don't care who says, oh, I told you so, or I thought we'd win. Like, that's just a reality. Absolutely. My own brother said to me on Saturday, I have a good feeling about today. And I asked him, well, you know, based on what? And, oh, I see, I think we're going to improve from last week. And, you know, they have a point to prove. Maybe the Ireland selection helped. And he's right. But he just had this good feeling. I said, fair enough. And but based on, you know, logic, where can Munster break Leinster down? Where can they hurt them? Where can they cause them problems? And when you look at the Leinster selection, it's close to a full side. Okay, Caelan Doris and Jack Conan are probably two, and Ryan Baird, but they can't play them all. Josh Fender Fleer in the back row. So two of them would go into the back row. Hugo Keenan can come in at full back, but there's not a lot of other changes. They were all there. All the big guns were there. You know, Andrew Porter's on, Ronan Keller starts, Sheehan can come off the bench, Furlong was there, RG Snyman, James Ryan, like, that's incredible power and quality. So I think Leinster were a little bit off, and Munster were really up for this. And I think, do you know what the great thing was? It wasn't off the back of a loss. So if they lost in Edinburgh, you know, you have that kind of axe to grind during the week. And it does, you get that reaction. It wasn't off the back of a loss. So that's the impressive part here. So it would suggest that they took on board maybe some of the issues they had against Cardiff and Edinburgh around the physical stuff and maybe alignments and numbering up and accuracy around breakdown and all that kind of stuff and speed of breakdown. So they took that on board, and obviously they produced one of the best performances that we've seen from Munster in a long, long time. It's right up there with, this game will be remembered for a long time, and I think that's not exaggerating it, because Leinster might say, look, it's taken a long time, you haven't beaten us in a league fixture in years, and Rainbow Cup and Cup semi-final, Munster did, but I'm saying in general, this league fixture is normally Leinster, so I don't think should overreact. I think the reaction now with in the end of the podcast will be about Connacht. Can they build on this? Couple of players away, a couple of injuries again, and you know, you got to back it up, because there's a little bit of a line in the sand around that intensity that's in your control. This is the stuff that's in their control, because you know, we don't, like, again, being respectful, I don't think this Munster team can go, because I don't think they can go and bully teams around Europe, even in the Champions Cup or even in the top teams in URC. But I think their collective can be their strength, and their collective on Saturday was outstanding, because you have a scrum that's under a lot of pressure. You have a 37-year-old tight end, John Ryan, you know, you have an academy player, Ronan Fox, on the bench, and you're coming up against British and multiple British and Irish Lions tours and regular Irish internationals. So, you know, that was an area that was a concern and a worry. But a lot of the stuff that we've spoken about in the last couple of years around the attack looked sharp. Tacker Abrahams, I thought, in the wing, every time he gets the ball, he's just electric. He's attracts defenders. Dan Kelly, Nankivell, you know, when Nankivell comes on, very unfortunate for Andrew Smith, because I think he's someone who's a, you know, really, really good player. But Munster have a little bit of comfort in depth there. So outstanding performance, and one we should celebrate, and the Munster fans should enjoy and should get a little bit of bragging rights. And it'll make the Christmas fixture unbelievable. So the next step in this fixture is back it up, win the two of them, and I'm sure Leo Cullen will be gunning to play Munster again back down is it the day after Stephen's Day this year? But look, that's a long way off. I think it's up to Munster now to try and build on this. And I was really impressed with Clayton McMillan after the game. He was quite composed, relaxed, and the players were as well. And I know it's a small thing, but they weren't jumping around the place going crazy. And it was like job done, really well done. I think celebrated that internally inside and really get the buzz from that. And I think it was out of respect for Leinster, because we have to respect what Leinster have done and where they've been. You mightn't like Leinster if you're a Munster fan, but like, they've been in a top quality side now for a long, long time. And I suppose a question you may ask, and Fiona can probably take this one, the Irish selection. I think the technical stuff here was really shrewd and good. So I think, just to clarify and finish on that point, Munster brought intensity, physicality, work rate, and they got that right. But they were tactically very good as well. I think they were really shrewd in the way they played. And when they, you know, there was moments in that game that they attacked and they looked very, very dangerous, and to get a bonus point win at the end. But we can't ignore the fact that there's 21 Leinster players picked for Ireland last week, and I'm sure that was mentioned in the Munster dressing room. And for one per player, you know, I spoke about Gavin Coombs last week, and I'm talking about being a fan of his, wanting more from him, and believing that I'd hate for Gavin Coombs to finish out his career with a handful of caps, where I think there's more there. And it's not this kind of nasty kind of exclusion situation that's going on all the time. I think he needs to do more, and I loved his reaction, and I think he is trying to, you know, to come on the field and you know, 20 tackles, be, you know, he fronted up physically, and I think he had to do that, and that was a big statement as well. So I was really pleased for him, and it doesn't change hugely. Tom Farrell has been called into the Irish squad now, which is a great reward for him as well. But you know, these guys have to do it now consistently, back it up, and what a start. Like, you know, if they can win next Saturday against Connacht, 5 out of 5 before the November break, would be a phenomenal start. So that Irish selection, Fiona, I'm sure was mentioned during the week. I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
Absolutely, yeah, it definitely adds to that fuel to the fire, I'd say, Queenie. You'd know that yourself, especially because of form. And I think if you look at the first couple of games in particular, you're thinking, okay, is Andy Farrell just picking guys he knows? Or is he actually picking players that are in form, like looking at what they can do? Yes, we know these guys can do it, but from a Munster perspective, it's like, what more can I do to be given a chance?
That is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we will name our star of the week and we look ahead to Saturday's clash with Connacht, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot,